VCY America presents Crosstalk, a nationwide call-in program discussing issues that have an effect on our families, our communities, our churches, our nation, and our world. Crosstalk, an opportunity for you to voice your concerns for biblical principles. And now live by satellite and around the world on the internet at vcyamerica.org. Here is today's Crosstalk.
Thank you for joining us here on Crosstalk today. Ladies and gentlemen, 2021 has been an impactful year. I mean, we have seen things happen this year that many have never envisioned for our nation. The mandates, the control, inflation, supply chain crisis, border chaos, the attack on oil, the brainwashing in the classrooms, climate alarmism, tyranny, division, critical race theory, the global agenda, the Great Reset, and the list goes on. But it's not only these issues in and of themselves. It's also the speed by which they're occurring, and virtually all of them simultaneously. I connected with our guest a couple weeks ago, asking if he would address, through his perspective, the most significant issues of 2021. He's with us today. His name, Alex Newman. He's an award-winning international freelance journalist, author, researcher, educator, and consultant, senior editor for The New American, contributes to other publications as well, author of Crimes of the Educators and Deep State, The Invisible Government Behind the Scenes, founder of Liberty Sentinel. Alex, thanks for being with us here today on Crosstalk.
Thank you so much for having me, Jim. It's always a pleasure.
You know, I look at the litany of things that have hit us this past year, and in some regards, it's difficult to know even which one has impacted us more than the other. But I observe, of course, as you do, these are all working hand in hand with one another. So we're going to hit these in random order here. But let's begin with this dominating issue on every newscast across the country. I mean, talking TV, radio, print media, blogs, podcasts, etc. It's a matter of COVID-19 and our response to the virus and all the subsequent mandates. Alex, give us your thoughts.
Well, thank you, Jim, for the opportunity to speak on these things. And, you know, if we had been told 2 years ago that we would be living through what we're living now as it relates to COVID, almost nobody would have believed it. I wouldn't have believed
right,
it.
Right.
I would have never imagined that they could have taken this many freedoms this quickly with so little pushback.
You would have been considered a conspiracy theorist wearing a tinfoil hat.
Absolutely. You would have been ridiculed and mercilessly mocked. And I mean, rights that we never even realized were in jeopardy, like our right to have a job without taking medical interventions, our right to open up our businesses, our right to breathe air freely without a thing on our face. But these are things that nobody would have ever thought of as rights that needed to be defended just 2 years ago. And yet now people are settling into this so-called new normal where, oh, well, you know, it's just a mask. It's just a mandate. It's just an edict on this, that, or the other. And what we see here, Jim, I think is the infrastructure of a global totalitarian system being put into place. And anybody who thinks that that's going to disappear as soon as COVID disappears is simply not paying attention. I believe that they've been preparing for this for at least a decade. We have a report from the Rockefeller Foundation from 2010 where they were doing an imaginary scenario of a hypothetical novel virus that would come out of China that would require tyranny to protect people, supposedly. They envision in this scenario mandatory shutdowns, lockdowns, face masks, basically all the things that we've seen. And one of the points in that report that struck me like a ton of bricks was where they say, even after the pandemic faded, the more authoritarian measures and controls intensified. You're thinking, wait, so after the COVID fades, these authoritarian measures are going to intensify? And I think that's what people need to be psychologically prepared for now. Yes, it was very nice that Biden came out yesterday and said there's no federal solution to COVID. That should have been obvious from the very beginning. If there's a federal solution, it's in prosecuting and holding accountable everybody involved in the stealing of our freedoms, the gain-of-function research that allowed all this to happen. But you know, these totalitarian controls and this infrastructure that's being put in place right now, the vaccine passports and all the rest of it, they are not done with this at all. In fact, I think this is only the beginning. And we need to realize that, and we need to not accept this notion that this is just a new normal and we just need to get used to it.
No, and one of the things we've observed, Alex, is that the goalposts are constantly moving in this. I mean, what was once, no, that will never happen, has become, you know, the mandated course of action that's being taken right now. There, and there is no end in sight. These goalposts are going to continue to move.
That's right. That's another thing that is just amazing to me is how quickly people forget what we were told originally. We're now in week 92 to slow the spread or whatever it was. Right? It was just 2 weeks to slow the spread. Well, now we're entering week 90-something, and these measures still have not been removed. We're still being forced to put things on our face to get on an airplane. We're still living with all these restrictions. In fact, some places are getting worse. Washington, D.C. is rolling out vaccine passports starting in mid-January. New York City has already done so. Chicago is in the process of building this. All over the world, these systems are coming into place. So this is extremely troubling, and I think people need to understand the significance of this. This is not about fighting COVID. It never has been about fighting COVID. And the sooner we all realize that, the better off we will be.
Yesterday, we had on Crosstalk Dr. Peter McAuliffe, and we've had Dr. Vladimir Zelenko, Dr. Jane Orion, Dr. Elizabeth Lee Valete, and quotes from numerous scientists, medical doctors who've been warning about the vax, the shot, the response here to COVID. And, Alex, these are not fly-by-night individuals. I mean, they're not people who receive their medical degrees by sending 10 serial box tops here to some mail-order house. I mean, these are people who are well-credentialed, well-respected up until this time by their colleagues, and they have been the ones that have been sounding the alarm.
Yes, and that's another one of the things that's so amazing about this is how the media has so systematically silenced and suppressed the voices of these individuals. And again, we go back and we see this in the war game scenarios and the training programs that they did. In 2019, in October, funded by the Bill and Melinda Gates Foundation and the World Economic Forum, they had at the Bloomberg School of Public Health at Johns Hopkins what they called Event 201. And this was a training program for what would we do if a non-coronavirus China were to start infecting the world. And one of the main themes of this exercise, and people can go back and watch the entire video, they had representatives of the UN agencies, the governments, the big media companies, the big technology companies, all gathered together. One of the key themes was, how do we suppress what they describe as misinformation? Well, this is clearly not misinformation. When you have people like those doctors you just mentioned and many, many others, I mean, yes, these are doctors with degrees from the most prestigious universities, Stanford, Oxford, Yale, Harvard University. I mean, these are the opposite of fringe. These are the opposite of quacks telling us that these vaccines are dangerous, that COVID is perfectly treatable with proper protocols, and on and on and on. And you have these voices being silenced as misinformation in such a systematic way, not just by the establishment media, but also by the social media companies and then Google burying the content so you can't find it. This is what they were preparing for. And folks recognize, again, this is not going to stop with COVID. If you think they're just using all this architecture just to silence professional medical doctors who are speaking out about this, you're kidding yourself. Christians are being silenced in this way now, and that's going to intensify. And the next time a crisis comes along, very much like they did with this COVID, we will see again a systematic silencing of any voices of dissent. And we need to understand the implications of that. It is incredibly dangerous to a free society. It is incredibly dangerous to a civilized society. And it's also, incidentally, incredibly dangerous to your health.
We remember the mantra, never let a crisis go to waste. And, Alex, I know that you have found that this whole matter with COVID has been the very catalyst for the creation of this worldwide infrastructure of tyranny.
Yes, it has been. And that was, of course, the famous phrase by Rahm Emanuel, who served multiple senior positions in the White House, and then he took a spot as the mayor of Chicago. And he said, yeah, you know, we never want to let these crises go to waste. It's an opportunity to do things that we didn't think we could do before. And the totalitarians recognize that. I think something that's really important to point out here, Jim, is that you need to understand the mind of a totalitarian, and that's difficult for a normal person to do. Yes, we all commit evil in our own lives. We all, you know, tell little lies. We've all done these sins that many people consider small. Of course, God doesn't consider them small. But to try to understand the mind of somebody who's perfectly okay with murdering millions of people, with enslaving entire nations, that's a whole nother level. But for us to pretend like these individuals don't exist in every society is absolutely foolish. The Bible talks about people whose consciences have been seared, people who have a seared conscience. They've perpetrated so much evil that their conscience doesn't even affect them anymore when they're slaughtering, when they're enslaving, when they're pillaging, when they're raping. That's what we're dealing with, and every society has dealt with that. We've seen it with the rise of Adolf Hitler. We've seen it with the rise of Pol Pot, who murdered somewhere between a third and a half of the entire population of his country. We saw it with the rise of Stalin and Lenin and Castro and all these dictators. These people exist in every society, and for Americans to think that we're immune to that is so naive. And so we've seen these types of people masquerading under benevolent intentions. Oh, we just want to keep you safe from COVID, exploiting this crisis to bring absolute horror down on our people.
Alex Newman with us here today. We're discussing significant issues of 2021. Folks, we could spend the whole program on just that issue alone, but we're going to move on to another issue that you put on your list, Alex, and that's the push for transhumanism and the diabolical agenda behind it. Tell us about it.
Well, this is one of those things where we could probably talk for 2 months about it and barely scratch the surface. I think this is one of those issues that is going to be a defining issue perhaps for the century, assuming the world lasts that long. And what you have, and this is not something that your average person has ever even thought about, because it's only just now being introduced into the popular culture, but it's the idea of merging man with technology, of improving the human being through artificial intelligence, technological implants, connectivity, and even synthetic biology, genetic engineering, and these types of things. And when you combine it all together, these people believe they're going to transcend their humanity. In fact, if you listen to them, they will tell you they think they are going to become gods. That's their term, not mine. They believe they are evolving into gods. And obviously Genesis 3:5 comes to mind, right?
Yes,
that's
yes.
The exact same lie we heard straight from the pit
gods.
Of hell back in the garden.
Right. You shall be as gods, knowing good from evil, yes.
That's right, and that's the same satanic lie that's been with us all along. And so that's what these people believe. One of the leading stenographers for this movement, his name is Yuval Noah Harari. He's a homosexual professor in Israel, and his book is called Homo Deus, and in it he argues that mankind is now evolving into a god-like being. We're going to have god-like powers, and anybody who chooses not to participate in this evolution is essentially going to become, if not a subspecies, kind of like a monkey is to us, but is probably going to cease to exist. He says humankind, as we understand humanity, is not going to exist in 100 years. So these people, there are extremely profound biblical implications here. One of the other leading figures in this movement, his name is Ray Kurzweil. He's the chief of engineering at Google. I've got a video of him where he says, people ask me, is there a God? And I tell them, not yet. We're building God.
Wow,
and so
wow.
There's another thread here where these people think they are building God through artificial intelligence and so on. And one more thing on the same topic, Jim, is these people believe they are going to secure eternal life by merging themselves with this technology. They believe they're going to be able to upload their consciousness into a computer system and survive into eternity without God, without Jesus Christ, without salvation by his work on the cross. And, of course, they're deceiving themselves, but they're also deceiving many others. And this is going to become one of the overarching themes, I think, of the next decades.
Alex Newman with us here today discussing significant issues of 2021 and certainly just scratching the surface on many of these issues. But we are up against a break here on Crosstalk. We're going to take the break and continue our discussion on this issue here today. And there is more to come. So, friends, take notes, be with us. And by the way, I trust you're informing others of the information that you're gaining from Crosstalk. We make this available online, crosstalkamerica.com. You can take this link, send it out to others. Of course, for those who like hard copy CDs, we make them available for donation of $6. And we'll have more information on that here in a bit as well. This is Crosstalk. We'll be right back.
Back to Genesis with Dr. John Morris, geologist and president of the Institute for Creation Research. Dr. Morris, in total, how many animal species have been found in the fossil record?
You know, Chris, the answer to this question surprised me. Evolutionists are fond of talking about millions and millions of fossil animal types, but in reality, only about 250,000 fossil species have ever been found. That's far fewer than the number of species that are still existing today. And it certainly is not many compared to the millions and billions of animals which must have existed if evolution were true. What we find in the fossil record are clams and snails and coral, the very same kind of animals that are alive today. Face it, Chris, evolution didn't happen. It's not happening today, and it didn't happen in the past, as recorded in the fossils. What happened is creation. just like it says back in Genesis.
To learn more about creation, get our free DVD called That's a Fact. Call us at 800-628-7640 and mention the promo code FACT.
Significant issues of 2021. That's our topic today. Alex Newman is with us, and Alex writes for thenewamerican.com, also leads Liberty Sentinel, their website libertysentinel.org, and you'll find articles and columns and on these sites and publications that you'll not get from other sources. And Alex, I know that people can go to these websites, read what's going on, and even subscribe to The New American as well. And there's much information, again, that they're not going to get when they put on ABC, CBS, NBC, Fox, CNN, et cetera.
Absolutely, Jim, and thank you for mentioning that. I do hope people go to The New American. If you're not subscribed yet to the print magazine, I encourage you to do that. It comes twice a month. Also, there's a free daily headlines that we'll email people. This is the news that you won't be getting from the establishment mouthpieces, but it's just absolutely critical for you, for your family, for your health, for your nation. And then my personal website, libertysentinel.org, you can sign up for our newsletter there. We send out about one a month, and it's just a lot, an eclectic mix of things. But, yeah, absolutely, if people want to follow up and learn more, those are very good places to do it.
Okay, again, that's thenewamerican.com. And libertysentinel.org. Alex, we're talking about this transhumanism, and you know, some people listening say, oh, that's just science fiction stuff that they did on Star Trek, but this is stuff that's actually going on. I mean, there are those who are actually getting these implants right into the brain, some of which are being saying, you know, used for medical purposes, but others are for that of really seeking to bring control of thoughts and action, are they not?
Yeah, and all of this is well documented, Jim. I understand that a lot of people out there listening right now are thinking, that is, just like you said, that's bad science fiction. I mean, you know, that's something we see out of a crummy B-level movie. But this is real. It's happening right now. The technology exists. I've got the proof. And many of the leading figures in this movement will talk about it openly. Now, as we said earlier, you probably won't hear about it on ABC or CBS or CNN or even Fox News. But among themselves, these people are having conferences, they're writing books, and these are not fringe, you know, caricatures. These are very, very serious, very influential people. I'll give you one obvious example, and there are many just like this who are involved in this movement. You have a gentleman by the name of Klaus Schwab, and maybe I shouldn't call him a gentleman. He's the founder of the World Economic Forum. That's the little club that gets together in Davos every year. They bring together presidents, dictators, CEOs, prime ministers, kings, etc. And he wrote a book a few years ago called The Fourth Industrial Revolution. And I encourage people to get a copy of this book from their local library because he lays out the agenda in plain English. He says we're going to be installing microchips that are going to be wired into our brain. They'll be able to read our thoughts. They'll be able to read our dreams. They'll be able to retrieve our memories. They will be able to manipulate those things. And he says actually that at some point governments may start requiring these types of brain scans to determine whether individuals are, represent a security risk or a threat to national security. And of course, they don't mean the same thing that we think of when we think of threat to national security. We think of, you know, blowing something up or killing people or committing treason or betraying your armed forces. These people are thinking about those who oppose this insane agenda, this evil agenda. You have people like Bill Gates, who are very, very active in this movement. Bill Gates has been singing the praises of this genetic engineering technology and its applications in mankind for many years. He actually wrote an article in the Journal of the Council on Foreign Relations. It's called Foreign Affairs. For those who don't know the Council on Foreign Relations, this is what I call basically deep state headquarters here in the United States. Very, very influential, dominates both parties and the news media, just as a starting point. And he wrote an article in there in 2018 arguing about the benefits of genetic engineering of people. And the implication is that God really didn't know what he was doing when he wrote your genetic code. But for your benefit and for the benefit of all humanity, we now have this technology where we can edit your genetic code, and we ought to start doing that. And one more name that may surprise people is Elon Musk. Elon Musk, I've got a video of him that I've used in some of these presentations, where he is talking about a technology that he has already developed. It's called Neuralink. They saw out a little piece of your skull, and they replace that piece of skull with a microchip that is then wired into your brain. He actually demonstrates, I've got a video of him demonstrating this technology when used on pigs. And as we speak, in 2022, he's searching for human volunteers. And so what it does with pigs, it can predict their thoughts, it can monitor their thoughts, it can show on a computer screen what their brains are doing. And he actually explains in the video that this technology is able to write on the brain as well. In other words, to put information into the brain. So this technology is real. It's being used now, and it's about to get a whole lot more creepy in the years ahead.
You know, Alex, I wonder if there's a desensitizing going on right now when we just observe what's happening in Sweden with these chips being implanted under the skin and gain entrances, have your bank account information, driver's license, and now even your medical vaccination passport part of this too.
Yes, and what's happening in Sweden is highly significant. I say this as somebody who spent most of the last decade in Sweden. I've been there, and they did so well throughout COVID. In fact, they were the nation throughout the Western world that did better than any other in terms of policy response. Their government said, don't wear face masks. They're unhealthy. They didn't shut anything down. Life went on completely as normal. You could have walked through downtown Stockholm in the height of summer 2020. You wouldn't have even noticed there was anything different. Everything was totally normal. They just got a new prime minister. And this new prime minister is now rolling out the vaccine passports. And now there's a company that I think over 6,000 Swedes have now put these vaccine passports on their microchips. And now it's being touted and celebrated around the world. So what's happening here? And I know a lot of the listeners are thinking, I'm never going to participate in this. They'll never put a microchip in me. Yeah, it's easy to say that right now. But what they're doing is they're painting us into a corner. They're boxing us in to the point where it will be extremely difficult to resist. And what they ultimately want to do, Jim, you know this, and I think many of the listeners do as well, is create a system where you will not be able to buy or sell if you don't participate in this. And we saw the infrastructure being laid down for this during COVID.
Well, and we just saw it this past week, and what was it, New York, in which we have multiple officers going into a restaurant demanding that this 5 or 6 year old boy who didn't have a vaccine passport had to leave the restaurant.
Yep. And this, again, is just the beginning, folks.
Yes.
If anybody thinks this is going to end with COVID vaccines, you're not paying attention. The COVID vaccine is just the pretext to bring it in. For those of you who got the two shots and you're thinking, oh, well, I'm good, I don't care about all this, just wait, because then you're going to need a booster and then another booster and then another booster. And then they'll add three more shots, and then it'll be about your political opinions. Oh, are you one of those Christians? Well, we're going to have to deactivate your microchip or your passport. So that's what these totalitarians envision, and you don't have to have a crystal ball or be a prophet to be able to see where this is all going.
Alex Newman with us here today, and we're going to delve into another issue here today, and it's really tied into what we're just talking about. That's the economy, the soaring inflation, the supply chain crisis. Share your concern, Alex. Do you believe that the very essence of our economy is at stake?
I do. I believe what we're witnessing right now is the beginning stages of a controlled demolition of the U.S. economy and the U.S. dollar. And I think, especially for those who are caught unprepared, it is going to be absolutely devastating.
So tell us what's going on with our economy. Give us your overview.
Well, I think one of the key things to watch right now is the U.S. dollar. Everybody now is talking about inflation. The intelligent people were talking about inflation 10 years ago because they were printing money like we've never seen before in American history. But now all of that is the fruit of that is coming into being. And so we're seeing on both sides, we see this pressure. On the supply side of the currency, we see a massive expansion in the supply of U.S. dollars. We've got the Federal Reserve just endlessly printing new currency. On the demand side, you know, since the U.S. dollar was officially taken off of the gold standard, you know, formally and totally in 1971, the U.S. dollar retained its position as the global reserve currency because of the so-called petrodollar status, right? All the governments of the world agreed that the U.S. dollar would be the currency used in international exchanges, especially in oil markets. And so that allowed the U.S. dollar to have this kind of global built-in demand where every government in the world had to have U.S. dollars. Big corporations had to have U.S. dollars. Well, what we're watching right now is the rapid disintegration of that system. Every time I look at the news now, it's like every day there's a new shoe that drops. Russia and India just signed a new deal to settle their international exchanges in rubles and in rupees. Right? Every day we're getting more news items like this. And so what's going to happen when enough of it, there will be a straw that breaks the camel's back. And I don't know what that will be, and I don't know when it will come, but I imagine it's probably not too far down the line. when that straw is added on, suddenly the international demand for the U.S. dollar that has allowed us to export so much of this inflation will be gone. And that means that dollars will come flooding back into the United States. Everything that's not nailed to the ground, and even the things that are nailed to the ground, will be bought up by all these foreign dollars coming back into the United States. And we will see a collapse in the value of the U.S. dollar, like we've seen other times in history with other collapsing currencies. We've seen this in Weimar Germany. We saw this in Zimbabwe. We're watching it right now unfold in Venezuela. And people think, oh, that could never happen to America. Well, it will happen to America, absent some sort of drastic policy change. And I'm not even sure a drastic policy change at this point could forestall this. So, and that's just the beginning of things, Jim. From there, the economic impact on the United States is going to be absolutely devastating, especially for the middle class. What that's going to do for national security, what that's going to do for the ability to fund our military, what that's going to do for the average American's ability to purchase the goods and services that they need to live. It's going to be very, very significant. And I think that's going to pave the way for something else that these global totalitarians have been pushing, and that's the Great Reset. And as according to their own propaganda, they've been putting out videos saying that by 2030, you'll own nothing. And you think, well, that's crazy. Why would we give up the things that we own? Well, wait for a big crisis that makes an economic collapse happen, and then it's possible.
Folks, again, you're listening to Alex, and you said that would never happen in America. But look at all the things that have happened in 2021 that we previously said that would never happen in America. And we're seeing them, and they have happened, and there is more to come. That's all part of this aspect here. Now, keep in mind who was just nominated and thankfully, you know, pulled the nomination, though, the comptroller of the currency, who wanted to do with away with all private bank accounts, wanted to collapse the oil industry. So, folks, don't say that never happened, because we are just on the verge of having such a person put in as comptroller of the currency. Alex, again, this is really all tied into our previous discussion, even on the Great Reset or the New World Order. There is a connection there I want you to mention. You used the term just a bit ago called controlled demolition. And I can't help but think, to build back better, something's got to be destroyed.
That's exactly right, Jim. And I think that's where the terminology actually comes from. Now, a lot of people think that Biden invented that term, or that it's some Democrat marketing ploy. In fact, it's not. It comes from the United Nations. The United Nations has been using that terminology since at least 2015 that I can track. The Communist Chinese have been using it. The European governments have been using it. And that's exactly right. You can't build something back better unless you destroy it first. And so I think what's coming is the destruction of the U.S. dollar, the destruction of the American economy, so that it can then be rebuilt. And I'm talking not just the economy. I'm talking really the very fabric of our society, the foundational principles upon which our government and our culture are based, are being right now, as we speak, attacked, undermined, and ultimately, they hope, will be destroyed, so that in its place can rise this new, completely reshaped society, economy, business model, family structure. Klaus Schwab talks about the social contract, and that's how high the stakes are.
Folks, we're going to take another break here. Alex Newman is our guest today, and again, you'll read more articles on these and related issues at thenewamerican.com. TheNewAmerican.com, and at LibertySentinel.org. A quick break, and then we're going to bring up just one more major issue here today on the program as we take a look as to what is happening, not just domestically, what's not happening within our borders, but what's happening beyond the borders of the U.S., and certainly the implications that it has upon the United States as well. Significant issues of 2021 continues here on Crosstalk on the VCY American Network.
Increasingly, we are hearing a rallying cry for socialism in our society. Free health care, free education, free food, free everything. Some are fanning the flames by encouraging mobs to change our government, our constitution, and our way of life. Do we really want to go the way of Russia? Of communist China? Cuba? Venezuela? Is socialism a wonderful utopia? Or is it a totalitarian nightmare? Will everything be free, or will deep state bureaucrats decide who gets what? These are critical issues presented in the book, Socialism, The Real History from Plato to the Present. author Bill Federer tracks the origins of socialism and reveals how the deep state capitalizes on crises to consolidate control. The book, Socialism, is available from VCY for your donation of $18 or more when you call 1-800-729-9829.
This is Crosstalk on VCY America. Critical information coming your way here today. Alex Newman is our guest. We're talking about significant issues of 2021, and every one of these deserves full programs, but we're giving an overview of some of the many things. I mean, even as we began the program today, we talked about the things that we have seen unfold this year, the mandates, the government control, the supply chain crisis and inflation, the border crisis, the attack on oil, the brainwashing in our classrooms, climate alarmism, some of these things we haven't even touched on today, but it's all going on simultaneously. Alex, we'd like to bring up another major issue here, and that is the what you call the banging of the war drums getting louder and what that means for America. What do you mean by that?
Well, for those who closely follow international affairs and even the what I call the fake media, you've probably noticed more and more war rhetoric, and that is not accidental. We see multiple potential flashpoints right now around the world. We see what's going on with Taiwan and Communist China. Communist China, of course, wants to gobble up Taiwan. We see what's going on the border with Ukraine, with Vladimir Putin trying to gobble up the Ukraine. It's pretty incredible. And we see the U.S. government really overextending itself and involved in all these different issues. And we also see at the same time this global alliance, and it's not maybe necessarily a formal alliance yet, although there are formal groupings and bodies and mechanisms of these governments that are coming together with the specific purpose of reshaping the world order. And as bizarre as it may sound to people who haven't been following this, we see many of the most influential elites in the Western world, including here in the United States, aiding and abetting this entire process. And so there's several things to discuss here, Jim. I want to start with the shift from a unipolar world order to a multipolar world order. But first, I want to point out that war has long been recognized by these global elites, by these totalitarians, as a crucial mechanism in shifting public attitudes. There was actually a very important report that was published in 1968 by a man by the name of Lincoln Bloomfield. This was a report commissioned by the State Department and the Institute for Defense Analyses. It was titled, A World Effectively Controlled by the United Nations. And the purpose of this report was to kind of explore the idea of how do we get from where we are now, which in the 60s was basically a world of largely independent nation states, how do we get from there to a world effectively controlled by the United Nations, as the title of the report suggests. And the answer, according to the author of this report, was to use war or the threat of war to shift public opinion. Now, we've seen this very clearly in operation. So this is not a new or hypothetical idea. World War I paved the way for the birth of the League of Nations. Now, that failed because the U.S. Senate refused to get us involved. World War II paved the way for not just the United Nations, which, of course, the U.S. did get involved in then, but also the European Union and the regionalization of government away from the nation state. So these individuals and these organizations understand that war and even the threat of war is a very powerful motivator to shift the public's attitude when it comes to surrender of sovereignty, to centralizing more and more control at the regional and even the international level. So with that as a backdrop, Jim, what we see now with all the warmongering involving Russia, involving Iran, involving China, and that's not to say that these are not threats. They are. The Communist Chinese have murdered more people than any other group of individuals or government in all of human history that we know of. We're talking 100 million, not including the 300 million unborn babies. As far as I know, there have never been such murderous people in charge of a major nation state. So with that as a backdrop, they're using, I think, this warmongering as a means to an end, and I think there's a very real possibility that some of these conflicts, and I don't know which ones and I don't know when, but I think there's a very real possibility that some of these conflicts could turn hot. America in a severely weakened state trying to fight one of these battles, it would be preposterous, and that would result then in what these individuals call the shift toward the multipolar world order, where America would lose its dominant position as the sort of the global hegemon, the unipolar leader of the unipolar world order, And then we shift to this multipolar world where Russia and China and Iran and Brazil and all these other governments would have kind of an equal standing with the United States on the world stage.
And that's not so far-fetched because we've got China talking with Russia. We've got Iran involved in all of this. And now Venezuela as well is launching into talks with Iran.
That's right. And what you see is behind the scenes. They don't report this in the U.S. media, but I've been doing my best to keep up with it for readers of the New American and other publications. These alliances already exist. For example, you take the Russians and the Chinese and the Iranians. They have the Shanghai Cooperation Alliance. This is actually a military agreement. When you look at the United Nations, there are multiple groupings within the United Nations, and that doesn't necessarily mean that they all agree on everything, but they do agree on certain things. And so one of the most important ones, in fact, by far the largest of any grouping, people look at the Organization of Islamic Conference and they think that's the biggest. Well, that one has about 57 members, give or take a handful, depending on what's going on in the world at that time. That's a lot of members. But there is one that is vastly more powerful, and that's called the G77 plus China. Very obscure to people in the United States, but very well known to people in other countries. Don't let the name deceive you. It's not 77 plus China. It's actually now, I think they're at 134 members. So about two-thirds, if not more, of the votes in the General Assembly, the UN General Assembly, are from members of this G77 plus China. And again, they don't all agree on everything. They have different forms of government. Some of them are, you know, kleptocratic third world governments. Some of them are outright communist dictatorships like China, Cuba, et cetera. But they all agree on certain principles, and they're not shy about expressing these principles. In fact, just a few years ago, they came up with their annual declaration. It was a new world order to live well, and they called for total restructuring of world governance. They called for more centralizing of power in the United Nations. They called for turning the General Assembly into a truly sovereign lawmaking body. They talked about moving toward a one-world currency. They talked about redistributing the wealth from the Western countries to themselves. So all of this is happening. All of it is documented. All of it is easy to discover. You just won't read about it from the news in America. And then when you realize all these governments are working together and coordinating their policies and working together within the UN and these other international mechanisms while the American people are being kept in the dark about it, you start to put two and two together and you say, oh, something's going on here.
Alex Newman with us here today. Oh, there's so much more to be said. But, Alex, I do want to cover one other issue here, and that is some people hearing all this information may lead them to despair, and I don't want to leave people in that regard, but I can just hear the churning going in some people's heads saying, has God lost control with all of this going on, all these things that you've talked about and all the things you didn't talk about today? Has God somehow lost control?
And the answer to that is absolutely, positively not. God is still on his throne, and that is why I think a Christian can look at all this and still be joyful and still be happy and still be enthusiastic and still be at peace, because we know God is still in control. We know that we know how the story ends. We know that all of God's enemies are going to be turned into a footstool, that every knee is going to bow, every tongue is going to confess. And as Christians, we must never lose sight of that. And when fear creeps in, we need to recognize instantly that is not of God. God is very clear. He did not give us a spirit of fear, but a power of love and of a sound mind. In fact, God abhors fear from his people. I actually preached a whole sermon out of Numbers 13 and 14 on how God deals with fear. When the spies were sent into the land to go spy it out, and they came back and they said, oh my goodness, there's giants in there, and we look like grasshoppers, and we shouldn't go in there. God was so furious, he almost destroyed them. And Moses prayed and interceded, and God said, all right, I'm not going to destroy them, but they are going to have to wander in the desert. That's how God feels about his people being scared. And so it's not just that God doesn't want us to be scared. It's that it makes our God, our Heavenly Father, upset when we're scared. He's God, and he's in charge. So for us to be afraid of these little New World Order people and their transhumanism and their elites and all the rest of it, it's not an appropriate reaction at all. We need to recognize God's still in charge. All of this is going to be working out for his glory. And if you're a believer, all of it is working for your good as well. So we can rest secure in those promises.
And, Alex, we just think we're so smart. You know, we're so smart. We're going to do this transhumanism. We're going to create, you know, our own gods. We're going to certainly take control of the world's economy. We're going to have this great reset. And God sits back and sees all of this, and he just laughs.
Yes, he does. Psalm 2, verse 4, we know that God laughs. We know that he holds these people in derision. We know he ridicules them. And we're commanded as believers to have no fellowship with the unfruitful works of darkness. Mm-hmm. Ephesians 5:11 tells us that we should be exposing them. We should be reproving them. We're not to be ignorant of Satan's devices. There's nothing wrong with following this and observing it and understanding it from a biblical perspective. But for us to get scared or for us to get obsessed with it, that's where it becomes problematic. God is in charge, and this is all going to end very, very well over the long term. And God promised it, so you can take it to the bank.
Our phone number to Crosstalk today is 1-800-733-9829. 1-800-733-9829. If you have a question for our guest today or a brief comment, we'll welcome your calls here through the remainder of the broadcast. That's 1-800-733-9829. But friends, by bringing this together as we kind of do a synopsis of what's transpired this year in 2021, we do not want you to lose hope. But if anything, Alex, this ought to strengthen our faith.
Absolutely, absolutely. And what we see is God's promises being fulfilled. We see, I think, something incredible going on with the church right now. We see an incredible exodus from the world's corrupt systems by Christians, not just in this country, but around the world. We see the gospel spreading like wildfire in big parts of the world. There is so much to be encouraged by. And again, if you feel despair or fear, I can't encourage you strongly enough to get on your knees and pray and then open up God's word, because you'll get a much clearer sense of what this all means, where it's all going, and how it's all going to end.
Let's go to our phone lines. Burlington, Wisconsin. Lat, you're on the air.
Yeah, hi, Jim. Hi, Alex. The question I have is, do you believe, Alex, you know, they're talking about now, you know, the people that won't take the vaccine, and which is me, and the people that won't take this chip, because I believe that's going to be part of the mark of the beast. Do you believe that through that, if they don't take that, they will cut their Social Security off? And then people that need Social Security to survive to pay their bills, do you believe that this will be part of the Antichrist, where they'll force these people to take the chip to have their money to pay their bills? I'll take my question off the air.
Thank you for the question. Thank you for the call. I don't know the precise details, and I don't know that anybody does, but I absolutely believe that the enemy will try, we should be clear here, to make it as miserable and as difficult as possible for anyone to defy the demands of this system.
Yeah.
And, you know, we see the beginnings of that already. They're threatening to, you know, this vaccine mandate, where you can't have a job if you won't take the shot. If you're at a company with over 100 employees, you've got to do this, that, and the other, jump through these hoops. We see the precursors to this. But again, I think God offers us hope during this time. First of all, we know how serious it would be for someone to take the mark. That is something that can't be undone. In fact, again, go read your Bibles on this. You must be very, very cautious, and you must pray about this. And I don't necessarily think this vaccine is the mark or anything like that, but I see the systems being put into place. And absolutely, I think they will try to make life almost impossible. They'll say you can't get your government benefits, you can't get your welfare, you can't get your unemployment, you can't get your Social Security unless you sign up for this. But, you know, it makes me think of God using crows and ravens to feed his people in the wilderness. Like, God has ways to sustain his people, and God promises, right? You seek first the kingdoms of God, and all the other things like food and clothing, those things will come. God will take care of his people. I don't think there's a big risk of us starving to death, but yes, it's going to require sacrifice.
We're going to take a quick break, come back to more of your phone calls. Folks, remember that there are some who trust in chariots, some who trust in horses, but we will remember the name of the Lord our God. We'll be back in 1 minute. You're listening to Crosstalk on VCY America.
For the Worldview Report, I'm Brandon House. Our website is worldviewreport.com. Recently, a complaint was filed at The Hague calling for crimes against humanity to be charged against people such as Bill Gates and Dr. Fauci. I don't expect it to go anywhere, but their complaint is very historical and instructive. One of the people that signed onto it is an undertaker from Great Britain that I have personally interviewed. What's perhaps most shocking about their complaint is they have the testimony of those who survived the Holocaust, and they're warning about the similarities between what happened then and what's happening now. They particularly write about, quote, the medical profession and institutions were radically transformed. Academic science, the military, industry, and clinical medicine were tightly interwoven, as they are now. They go on to describe how the government and the medical profession were interwoven and carried out the eugenics program of the Holocaust. And they're warning it's going to be worse here in America.
Phone lines are packed. We're going to get right back to the calls here to Crosstalk. Write down our number. It's 800-733-9829. Alex Newman with us today. We're discussing significant issues of 2021, and you can read more of his articles and others like his at thenewamerican.com, thenewamerican.com, and libertysentinel.org. Let's go to Zoe in Champaign, Illinois. Zoe, you're on the air.
Hi, Jim. I'm wondering, Alex, what is Melania Trump up to, doing something or other with cryptocurrencies, which I've never been interested in even, mm-hmm. but I don't know what she's doing.
Any idea, Alex?
Interesting. I have not heard of anything involving Melania Trump and cryptocurrencies, but I do believe that these central bank digital currencies, they're calling them, are going to be very, very significant in the months ahead, maybe in the years ahead. But what we see right now is a very rapid shift away from cash money and cash currency into these digital currencies. And the central banks of the world are cooperating with each other through the Bank for International Settlements to roll these out at a global level. They're already being piloted and used in a number of countries, including China. The Federal Reserve here in the United States is working on one of these as well. So very, very significant issue. We didn't have time to get into all the details, but I encourage people to keep their eyes on this as well, because it's going to be very significant in the years ahead.
Thank you, Zoe. Ed in Spencer, Tennessee, you're on the air.
Hello. My question is, will the occurrence of the war of Gog and Magog of Ezekiel 38 and 39 impede or enhance the globalist agenda?
That's a good question, and I don't know that I have a good answer to it, so I will pass on that, but thank you for calling in.
Yeah, we're not really dealing with prophetical issues as such here today. In a sense, we are, but not some of the details that you're talking there. But thank you, Ed. You may want to check, even touch base with prophecytoday.com. We've got Daniel in Morristown, Arizona. You're on the air.
Hello. I appreciate your ministry up there in Wisconsin. Just had a quick comment. You had mentioned, and your guest had mentioned, I believe, earlier in the show that this whole pandemic and the Great Reset had been planned out like maybe at least a decade before. I think it goes way back before that, because my friend Jim and I were discussing things, and he mentioned that in the movie Soylent Green with Charlton Heston, it was based in the year 2022, and everyone in the movie wore masks. So that's just my comment for today, and thanks again for your ministry. Hmm.
Thank you. And even more than the last decade, Alex, this whole plan toward global, I mean, didn't we even hear George Herbert Walker Bush? I believe he was the first president that envisioned this new world order.
Yes, and he described exactly what it would be, a world where a credible United Nations would use its military forces, the peacekeeping function, to fulfill the vision of the UN's founders. And there's a lot of evidence that this idea of masks has been around for quite some time. In fact, there was a German propaganda film back from the 1970s where everybody was forced to wear masks and they were forcibly vaccinating people. So these are not new ideas. And there's also something very dehumanizing about the masks. Slave masters sometimes used to use these for their slaves. There's something that just really dehumanizes a person by putting a mask on their face. And I think there are also kind of occult and very sinister motives behind this. And I think the Swedish government did very well by telling people not to wear them because they're unhealthy.
Atlanta, Georgia. Leroy, you're on the air.
Hi, Jim. Hi, Alex. 2 points of note. They are coming after Christians and people who won't follow the narrative left and right. I cropped a picture that posts 11 items that were all hoaxes last year that range from vaccinated can spread COVID all the way down to secret contracts between Pfizer and governments. Everything was a hoax. In the last column, now it's all truth.
I've been banned from Facebook for 30 days.
So what was deemed, what you're saying, what was deemed to be hoaxes have all found to be true. And,
yes,
and yeah, that,
just a year ago.
Yeah.
And that's all true. But you can't crop on Facebook and let everybody know.
Yeah.
The other point, if I may, transhumanism. When Daniel translated the dream and talked about iron mixed with miry clay, is that the transhumanism that we're seeing now?
No.
Whether it's the shot or somebody wants a bionic arm.
Yeah. Thanks, Leroy. And again, that's getting to the image word where we had the Medes and Persians and then Greece and then Rome and then the 10-nation confederation, so to speak, here. But I think it's really important that we understand where we're at, that certainly God is in control here during times like this. He laughs at the very demise of mankind trying to pull this all together. And certainly to recognize what is afoot around us, to be understanding of the times, Alex, I believe is vitally important for us, though.
Absolutely. And I don't think one can understand the times without being in the Word and without being in prayer daily.
Mm-hmm.
That is the crucial element of truly understanding the times. And thank you, Leroy, for the call.
Tom is next in Eau Claire, Wisconsin.
Yes. Question for Alex. What's your opinion, Alex, on Trump's recent doubling down on his support for the vaccines?
Thank you, Tom.
Yeah, great question. I wish I had a good answer. Unfortunately, I don't. I will say I'm extremely concerned that he's continuing to promote this. And I'm also interested in the fact that Joe Biden seems to be giving Trump a lot of credit for these now. I wonder if they're not setting Trump up to take the blame, because I think they're having a very difficult time now suppressing the truth that virtually everybody now knows that the vaccines don't work. Even the people who are fully vaccinated and got their boosters know that they don't work, because they're all running around getting COVID tests and worrying about who's vaccinated or unvaccinated relatives are coming over for Christmas. So I think the cat is out of the bag now that the vaccines don't work, and also that there are very serious health effects. I cannot imagine what would possess Trump to go out and continue promoting these. I hope and pray that he's just getting some really bad advice, but part of it may be pride. You know, he staked a lot of his reputation on this. He made it a kind of a centerpiece of his campaign, and to walk it back now and say, "Hey guys, I made a huge mistake. We probably shouldn't have done this. In fact, it's going to be a catastrophe." Would require really an enormous dose of humble pie, and I don't know what's going on, but I'll tell you, I'm very alarmed by it.
We wish I had more time for phone calls, but that closing theme tells us we're out of time here today on the program. Just giving you an overview of the significant issues of 2021. Alex Newman, our guest here today. Alex, thank you for carving out the time and for your commentary on so many critical issues.
Thank you so much for having me, Jim, and God bless you.
And Happy New Year to you as well. Alex Newman, our guest, and again, folks, the website's thenewamerican.com, libertysentinel.org, and above all, keep your eyes on the Lord. Thanks for listening.
You've been listening to Crosstalk via satellite and the Internet from VCY America. Views expressed may or may not be those of this station. For a CD of today's program, send a donation of $6 or more to VCY Tape Ministry, 3434 West Kilbourne Avenue, Milwaukee, Wisconsin, 53208, or download by RSS or podcast from crosstalkamerica.com. And join us again for Crosstalk.